This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I just got done with the high school football roundtable. Heard from Greg Wetzel, Coach Steve Briggs, and Dave Ritchie on their respective games. Greg and Dave on Lewisburg and Schick, and Coach Briggs on Sealands Grove and Twin Valley. Those games will be on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Sealands Grove and Twin Valley get it underway at 6 o'clock with the pregame show on Eagle 107. The Chief and Kevin Herr will have the Braves here on 1070 AM. They kick off. Their pregame show starts at 6:30 along with Greg Wetzel and Justin Michaels on the Valley 100.9 FM. They will have the Lewisburg side of the Lewisburg-Shikellamy game. I will be there as well for the daily item, so that one will be well covered, it sounds like. We'll have John Sauber in the next segment to discuss Saturday's Penn State-West Virginia game. Coach Franklin had some post-practice availability, it looked like, yesterday. And Ty Howe met with one of the assistant coaches. Ty Howe met with the media today on Zoom, so should be plenty to talk about there as well. Trying to think of some things to get into here. We got into it a little bit before the break. I thought it was a little interesting, the Pirates game yesterday. Maybe that was before the high school roundup when, it's going to be interesting to see what they do at the end of the season, because I think, we talked to John Parrotto at the beginning of the year and about midway through the year, when Skeens came up, and there just seemed to be a lot of optimism in the, but the season just seemed to go exactly like last year went, where they started the season well, and now we're in this morass at the end of the year where we don't know who's going to stick around.
Well, here's the – okay. Their offense has been mediocre all season. Okay. But yesterday they had Skeens pitching, so you're on track to be really good that day, right?
In theory.
Right, in theory. And they were. And it was a day where the offense didn't hurt them, scored 10 runs. But to lose like that, that is absolutely demoralizing as to how they lost the game. You go out and lose 9 out of 10 like they did, and then you lose a game like that to the Cubs yesterday. It just demoralizes an entire organization. But what I feel awful for are the fans. The fans are the ones I feel awful for in Pittsburgh, because they're the ones that keep showing up year after year after year. And they're looking at a team that's hitting .229, which is fourth to last in the majors. They have the fifth most strikeouts in the majors, 754. They just they can't hit. But yesterday, they finally hit, lost.
I think, you know, if there's one benefit for the White Sox being so bad is I think the Pirates are kind of going a little bit under the radar right now with how bad they've been over the last couple months. Because, man, I think I saw yesterday the White Sox are 3-32 since the All-Star break.
Yeah, one of them, by the way, was against the Yankees.
Yes, this is true. Did you see the catch that Travis Jankowski made last night to make sure that they didn't win?
I heard about it. I did not.
It was a walk-off. He had his whole, almost his whole upper body across, over the fence and reaching over to catch it. It was one of the better catches of the season. It's just, the first time I saw it was on X while I was working last night, and it just said, "When you know the Lord wants you to set the MLB record for losses."
God, that's awful. Hard way to lose. But Charrington made a comment. Jeez, I'm trying to find it. It was an analytics quote. And he was talking about the season and using analytics, like using he kept talking about it in terms of analytics. That the team, the 5 years, have been like where he thought the analytics would be. Like, really? You got to be kidding me. I mean, that's... That was bizarre when I read that. That's bizarre. And I don't know.
Hey, if the Royals can do it twice in this time span, there's absolutely no reason the Pirates can't.
I agree with you on that. That's you know, look at the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I mean,
the Arizona Diamondbacks have been really, you know, got to the World Series last year. Are, I think, playoff bound this year, have a shot at it. Right. But Charrington made some bizarre quote. I wish I could find it. I've been looking for it.
And I feel, we're getting to the point where, if it was bothering Bob Nutting, that they would do something about it at this point. It doesn't seem like, it seems like the Pirates management is kind of happy where they're at.
All he cares about is people are showing up.
Yeah.
Did I go to a Pirates game this year? Yes. But I went to see the Red Sox, but I still went to the ballpark. The ballpark's fabulous. You can't say enough good things about the ballpark, just like I can't say enough good things about Citizens Bank. I think the bank's an awesome ballpark, to be honest with you. It was the kind of quote that was one of those word salad quotes. Like, he kept going around and kept talking about and I kept saying to myself, what the hell is he talking about? And I didn't know what he was talking about. You know, anytime anybody gives word salad answers on any topic, they have no idea what they're talking about. Anybody who gives a word salad answer has no idea what they're talking about. And I read this Charrington quote. We're not only focused on the offense. We're looking at an entire 26-man roster and asking ourselves, where are the opportunities to improve this roster? And in a way that helps us and helps us get better. Like, what the heck? What? Really? That's what you're looking to do? I'm very impressed you think that way. But it's like, and then he started talking about the analytics of the organization from the day he took over to the analytics of the organization now. That's BS. Okay? That's all that is just absolute word salad BS. In other words, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just giving you an answer. And anybody who does that, I have incredible doubts about. And remember, this guy built the 2013. I mean, he made some great deals and got the Red Sox a World Series in 2013. They went from last place in 12 to World Series champions in 13. And this thing, he obviously has his hands tied by the ownership. Okay? There's no doubt he has his hands tied. So I'm not, you know, I'm not ripping him for that. But don't sit there and come up with an answer like that where you sit back and go, what is he talking about?
I mean, when did you went to that game in April, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about when you came back from that game how badly they needed offense in April. It's almost September, and I don't think that Bray and, or the De La Cruz move with the Marlins is really working out for him all that well.
Yeah, and, I mean, O'Neill Cruz got moved to center field, I think. So they've got him in the outfield now, right?
Yeah, they moved him to center field.
It's
work for Jackson Merrill and Fernando Tatis.
Yeah, no. I mean, if it,
hopefully it works out for him, because if he figures it out, he's going to be scary.
When they talked about O'Neill Cruz, Charrington said this week the club won't look too closely at defensive metrics. Shelton admitted there would be bumps in the road. I mean, he's a good athlete. He's got a great arm. Now, whether he knows how to track a ball, whether he knows how to run a right route, you know, there it's more than to outfield than just the basics. Hey, you can move anybody out there? You really can't. What a mess. Now, there's a big difference between the Phillies and the Pirates. The Phillies have expectations. Right? The Phillies have expectations. And right now, even though the Phillies are in first, I'll ask you, Phillies fans, are they meeting your expectations? Now, in April and May, they were. In April and May, they were. But lately, are they? I'm just saying, I'm asking, you're a big Phillies fan. I'm asking you.
No, not really. But again, I kind of agree with Brandon Gaudin. I think the happy medium is, you know, between the opening part of the season and these last six weeks is kind of, you know, where they're actually at. And, you know, to be honest, they have been playing a little better, but you know, this weekend is going to be huge. You know that,
right?
You know, they lose two. You know, what is it, 3 of 4 or 2 of 3? You know, the I think the Braves are 5 out now. The Braves get that down to 3 or 2.
Yeah, they're 5 back right now, yeah.
You know, I think the Philly, it starts to get a little tight in Philadelphia in September.
Yeah, because they aren't playing today, are they? Yeah, they are playing today. It's a 4-game weekend series. That's a 4-game series. Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You will be able to hear the gnashing of teeth from Philadelphia on Monday if that's a sweep and they're within a game.
Or, you know, if it's 3 out of 4, then they pick up 2 games, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. They're right now, they do have the second best record in the majors. Second best. The second best record, I should say, in the National League. My apologies. Second best record in the National League. Yeah, the Dodgers have the best record, but it's not that big of a gap. I mean, the Phillies, I think, are what, a game back for the best record? Again, there's expectations. And they're currently a game and a half ahead of the Brewers in the race in the top three. Dodgers have the best record of baseball. Yankees have the best record in the American League, but they're only game up in the Orioles. That's it. One. Cleveland's cooled off a little bit. Game up on the Royals. Twins are 3.5 back. Astros lead Seattle by 3.5.
I don't think... I did not realize until I read it yesterday that the Guardians had blown a 9-game lead.
Yeah. No, they're hanging on right now. But, for example, the Twins should have passed them out. But the Twins are 2-8 in their last 10 games. So thus, they're 3.5 games out. They actually lost some ground. Oddly enough, the White Sox have been eliminated. All right. So, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Markets are in summer. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun. Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is where you want to be in August for massive savings on new Fords. Pick from 39 of the fuel-efficient 2024 Ford Escapes with discounts up to $4,600. And Sunbury Motors has them priced at the lowest price ever offered. Just $27,995. Choose from 19 of the iconic 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. And SMC has them slashed up to $6,100. And they start from just $27,995. From 26 of the number one selling SUV of all time, the 2024 Ford Explorer, with savings up to $6,300, plus get 0% financing and priced from only $41,565. SMC has 37 2024 Ford F-150s with discounts up to $13,000, and they start from just $47,859. Sunbury Motors is a fourth generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
To have you with us on the show today. West Virginia, I keep going back to that game with Georgia Tech and Florida State, not because of, it's like, people think too much. Right? Like, oh, God, that's a real, just slow down. Okay? It's all right. Okay? But if they can run the football, which they can, and they can shorten the game, which they could, that's the issue I'm looking at. You have to get this team into throwing the ball more than they want to. Now, Green is a good thrower. He's not a great thrower. We'll see how much he's improved after going to the Manning Academy over the summer. Jaheim White didn't really have a role much in last year's game. He's really a 5'7 dart. Ding, 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 all over the place. Donaldson is a really good running back. He can be a hammer. They got those four offensive linemen back, but they don't have Zach Frazier. And Frazier was, there aren't many centers I saw last year that were better than he was in person. And part of that's looking at tapes, too. And when you sit there and you look at their offense, I mean, the wide receivers are okay. Their defense is good, is okay to good. I mean, their front is all right. I like their linebackers. Trotter's a pretty good player. Cutter's not bad. Secondary, I know, obviously Jaheim Joseph, Northwestern, so I know about him. Garrett Hollis, Northwestern, know about him. The guy I don't know much about at all is Garns. Garns, the corner who was slated to start for them, was at Duquesne last year. And I think West Virginia played Duquesne. I think they played them the week after they played Penn State, I think. And I guess the entire coaching staff was thoroughly impressed with, wow, this Garns kid's pretty good. And I guess West Virginia wasn't the only one that went after him. And we'll just see how he holds up in a game like this. But that I don't know. And I know their kicking game is good. Michael Hayes, a good kicker, plays kicker. Oliver Straw is a very good punter. I think that Preston Fox is one of those good, rock-solid returners. You know, playing at home. And we talked about the helmet communication. I mean, Penn State will be a huddle team, by the way. It doesn't mean there aren't times they can't go to the line of scrimmage and just go. But they're actually going to be a team that will huddle up. You know, in other words, Andy will be up in the box. Andy's up in the box. Tom Allen's going to be on the field. And Andy will get the play into him in the huddle, and then Drew will relay it. Now, if there's anything that has to be done at the line of scrimmage, you're going to have to use signals along the way, especially to get to the wide receivers. So it's not as if hand signals go completely away. They don't. There's still a role. But the communication part should be exponentially better for everybody. You know, iPads. And it's different than you see on the sideline for the NFL. Microsoft Surface, which that's a sponsorship thing. That's a sponsorship thing. But they can only use still pictures. Not college. You can use video. The video is all controlled by a third party. The helmet communication is controlled by a third party. So it's not as if you go into a place and you're using the home communication people. You aren't. It's a third party. They have contracted with that with a group. Hope that helps.
That'd be a pretty sweet gig, free college football, if all you have to do is shut the communication off at 15 seconds of the play clock on every play?
Yes, unless you foul it up or there is a technical error.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Then out of nowhere, it's not fun.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You accidentally give Alabama an extra second during the Iron Bowl or something?
Yeah, that's not good. No. At that point, getting to your car is problematic.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. John Sauber does great work covering everything for the Center Daily Times. John, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Always appreciate it.
I will start with something that's actually off topic. That's Penn State basketball. They did release the non-conference schedule today, which includes a lot of games we already knew about. The tournament down in Daytona, which I had to set up a flight for today from Minneapolis. And Virginia Tech down in Baltimore, which we're calling the Ace Baldwin Invitational. But then everything else that came out, what was just your thought on what they have on there and the sequencing of it?
Yeah, there were two main things that I noticed right away. One was the UMBC game the night before the whiteout at home, which I think is interesting. I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I had to do the old doubleheader right in 2 days, the men's basketball right into a football game, but I thought that was interesting. And then there is the away game at Drexel on December 21st as I think everyone knows at this point that could be a potential home football weekend as well if there's a playoff game in Beaver Stadium. So I thought it was interesting that they decided to make that the weekend that they go, you know, to Wells Fargo Center and play there against Drexel.
Yeah, that game would be at noon, by the way. The Flyers are playing that night. So
yep.
So they'll have to turn that Wells Fargo over in order to do it. All right, so now let's get to football. In the opportunities you've had to be at practice, what has struck you?
Yeah, one of the main things that every time I go in is always a takeaway for me is that just how big Julian Fleming is compared to a lot of other receivers, right? Like, he is clearly a different type of receiver than they had on the roster heading into this season. It makes sense that they would go at him. The physicality that he brings, the blocking ability that he brings. But it's not just him. A guy like Trey Wallace stands out physically too. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. Those are the two kind of guys that I think we're all monitoring as to whether or not they can stay healthy this year. Fleming had injury issues in the past at Ohio State. Trey Wallace obviously missed a good chunk of last year. And I think seeing those guys physically stronger is important. But outside of that, we're limited in what we see. But as always, very impressed with Drew Aller's arm strength. But it's tough to know with something like that until you see it in an 11-on-11 situation.
Last week, and I've brought this up a couple times on the show, last week, Georgia Tech won, and this has nothing to do with, oh, look, Georgia Tech. That has nothing to do with it. It's the game and how they did it. Georgia Tech, big offensive line, ran the football and reduced the number of possessions. Each team only had 7 possessions in the game. In other words, they shortened the game. Is West Virginia capable of that?
I think West Virginia is capable of that, but I also think the way they get to their rushing attack is a little different from Georgia Tech. They're not as – there was a lot of window dressing for that Buster Faulkner offense, and credit to Georgia Tech. Right. That was – frankly, I had a lot of fun watching that game with some of the stuff they did, some of the motions, some of the group shifts that they were doing. Yeah. But I don't know that West Virginia is going to play it the same way. I do think one of the – advantages Penn State has is a lot of teams West Virginia plays this year is not going to have the athleticism to match up with Jaheim White, Garrett Green, C.J. Donaldson, those guys in the running game. Penn State does have that athleticism. So I don't, it's tough for me. I haven't really gone back and forth on my prediction for this game just because it seems like a bad stylistic matchup for West Virginia. It's one of the reasons I thought Penn State looked so good last year, and I kind of expect that to be the case again Saturday.
When you look at Penn State offensively, what will be a couple of things you want to see in the first quarter and a half that will either confirm or cause pause as you move forward?
I think the biggest thing is getting those playmakers the ball in space. Andy Kodonicki has harped on it all offseason. It seems like everyone on staff has harped on it all offseason. And it sounds simple, but seeing guys like Katron Allen and Nick Singleton get the ball in advantageous positions, seeing Trey Wallace get the ball in advantageous position, seeing Tyler Warren utilized in a way that doesn't force him to make contested catches every time, right? Like getting those guys in spots where even if it doesn't always turn into a big play, you see an opportunity for one if it breaks right the next time. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I'm not overly concerned about Drew Aller. I know that has been a talking point this offseason. I said a lot last year, too, that I don't know how much he was to blame for some of the struggles the offense had last year. I don't know that there's a ton he can do against West Virginia specifically just because, we saw him torch them last year. But I think that seeing those guys put in space is going to be the biggest thing just because that will tell us how much of an impact Andy Kodonicki is having quickly on the offense.
Same question as to the first quarter and a half and what you see defensively that will confirm what you thought this defense can be or give you pause.
Yeah, I honestly don't know that I expect to see much that'll give me pause. I really expect this to be a top 5 defense in the country, if not like top 3. The biggest thing is going to be the pressure from the edge guys. If Abdul Carter is playing the edge instead of off-ball linebacker, seeing him get pressure, seeing Denied Dennis Sutton get pressure, I guess the biggest question mark is probably those corners, guys like A.J. Harris, Jalen Kimber, Cam Miller, Adavian Collins, seeing how they play is going to be important. But I tend to think that's going to be a strong point of the defense that, I don't know that is going to have a weak point this year. So I don't know that there's a whole lot that I guess if West Virginia lights up the defense, I'll be concerned, but I don't know if there's going to be anything early that would be a massive indicator just because I think this defense is going to be really versatile. It's going to be able to match up really well with with myriad teams this year, and I think they're going to have a lot of success this year.
How what's your level of curiosity about helmet communication, use of iPads, and the implementation strategically of the two-minute warning?
I think probably like a 5, right? Like this is a 5 out of 10. Like I don't think this is going to be, especially it is funny to me that they're just now getting the iPads on the sidelines. Drew Aller mentioned this week that his high school had them. It is just very strange that high schools were ahead of college football in that regard. But I think the communication is probably the most interesting part of this. The two-minute warning, I think people will get used to pretty quickly. But with the communication, you know, we've talked to coaches and everything about, you know, what is too much information? When are you giving the guy information overload at that point? You're kind of interfering with things and instead of keeping it simple. I know Andy Kodelnik, he said that he's basically going to get the play call in, you know, give Drew Aller one piece of advice, like, hey, look for this or hey, look for that, and that's kind of it. So I'll be curious to see how the guys who have the green dot on their helmet handle that information, and if at any point it becomes too much, not just for Penn State, but I think across college football, that's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I think the part about the two-minute warning, if you're saving all your timeouts, that now strategically becomes interesting to me. I mean, it's not an additional timeout. It's the fourth timeout of the first half and the fourth timeout of the second half, because I can say that because we have to take breaks on radio based on that. So that's what it is. It's just so people know it's not an addition. But I'm going to be interested to see how much people run the football in certain situations if they save timeouts, because now they have the fourth one. And I'm going to see, and that's what I'm going to be watching for in some games this weekend, John, like in certain situations, because I have the additional timeouts, instead of like trying to hurry everything up, I may run the ball a couple times.
I was going to say, I think that is probably the scenario that it creates, right, where there's like, you know, 2 minutes and 5 seconds left, the clock is stopped, and you don't have to throw the ball there, right? Like, does it change the play calling in those specific spots? You know, under 3 minutes, are you waiting to ramp it up, like waiting to ramp your tempo up until you get to the 2 minute? I do think it'll be interesting in seeing how coaches handle that. But I, you know, it is tough because those scenarios can be few and far between at times with that. But I do think you're right. I think there are going to be those 2 to 3 minute, 2 to 3 minutes left on the clock, and you're going to see someone change a strategy here or there just because of the 2 minute warning.
Is there a player on each side of the ball that to you is a swing player as to how each side of the ball plays?
Yeah, I think on offense, it's you know, it's got to be Trey Wallace at this point. It is paramount that this team has someone it can trust at wide receiver. Has a lot of weapons, but I think just having one guy that is defenses have to focus on would be really crucial, and that can really swing the season. It can take it from, you know, a potential, you know, 9-3, 10-2 year to an 11-1, 12-0 year if they have a legitimate number one option at receiver. On defense, I don't know if there's one particular guy on defense, but I think those corners as a whole are going to dictate a lot. It's one of the reasons I'm so high on the defense. I guess if I had to pick one, it would be AJ Harris, just because I do think he's going to be the number one corner, and he's going to be the number one corner quickly. But as long as that group hits a certain threshold of being good, then I think this defense is going to be, like I said, top 3 to 5. If it's better than that, it might be one of the, you know, it might be the best defense in the country.
John, no divisions. It's 1 through 18. What are your thoughts on that and what it can mean for certain programs?
I think it is going to be a very big adjustment for me personally, right? Because you're so used to, you know, you picture the Big Ten, one, usually 14 teams. Obviously, that's an adjustment. Mm-hmm. But you're so used to seeing, like, okay, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, all these schools are bunched together. But there's the mental, like, you're breaking the muscle memory in some way of, like, okay, these teams are associated with this. Now we're actually going to get to see the top two teams of the conference. I think that's really exciting, for one, right? I think there have been too many Big Ten title games that have been a little bit boring in recent years just because you don't get the two best teams of the conference. I think, honestly, the biggest thing from all of this, right, not just the divisions going away, but the bigger conference, is that I think we're going to see three lost teams in the playoff, and I think that's going to open the door for Penn State some years. It'll open the door for Michigan some years. All of those teams that are kind of usually fighting on the fringes for playoff spots, I think they're going to have more opportunities now than they've ever had before.
Yeah, I find that part interesting, because when I was with the Big Ten announcers, we do a golf outing every year, and it's usually near the end of May. So I asked, man, we're just sitting around shooting the BS after telling lies about our golf games, and I said, let me ask you something. Is eighth place good? And I thought the best answer was one of them jumped in and said, well, it depends on who you are. Like, for example, if you're a team that was 4-8 last year and now you finish in eighth place, you've moved up. But if you're a blue blood, eighth place has got to be crushing.
I think there's a small group of teams where eighth place is never going to be good, right? I think that applies to Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, those kind of programs. But I think for pretty much anyone past that, like if Wisconsin finishes eighth most years, that's going to be a pretty big win, right? You're not going to be a playoff team at that point, but it probably is, I would assume, 8 or 9 wins in a fringy top 25 ranking. And I think most Big Ten schools would take that.
Yeah, because it's a little bit different in football compared to basketball. You finish in eighth place in the Big Ten, I think you're going to the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah.
If you finish in eighth place in football in the Big Ten, you're going to the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Very true.
I mean, that's what I think it is. What's the biggest question that fans have asked you in the off season leading into this game?
It's all about Andy Kotelnicki, right? Or more broadly, the offense, right? Like, is this really going to be different? Is this going to be the same offense just with a different play caller? Is it going to be something that's actually fundamentally different? And, you know, I know James has said often that it's a blending of what Andy does and what Penn State does, but I do think we're going to see a very different product this weekend than we saw last year. And I think it's going to be something that, you know, all those fans asking those questions get excited about, quite frankly, because it is creative. You know, I did a big feature on Andy and kind of his journey. He's fascinating to me, but I think he's one of the most creative minds that I've ever interacted with, you know, when it comes to football coaching. And I think he's going to have this offense humming.
The final question, it does deal with Andy. If you had to handpick a non-conference opener with a new coordinator and Andy Kotelnicki, ironically, it's a Big 12 team. And, of course, Kansas played them all the time, until they made the expansion last year. Everybody in the Big 12 played everybody all the time. So he knows them. Conversely, they know him. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that kind of opens the door for us to actually learn something Saturday, right? I think if we saw like a lower-level Group of Five school going into Beaver Stadium and losing by 50, there's only so much to learn, right? Like Penn State, in all likelihood, knows they're winning that game. They don't have to pull out all the stops. They don't have to do things differently. But because of this matchup, both Penn State and West Virginia and Andy all have to do things that they know the others know about, right? Like Andy has to call plays that he knows that West Virginia's seen before, and he'll have to have counters for those quickly, because when they see it the first time, they'll recognize it and be able to start to adjust almost immediately rather than needing, you know, more time to make those adjustments. But yeah, I think it definitely makes it much more of a chess match, and I think it adds an added layer that's going to be really exciting to watch.
Always a pleasure, John. Great respect for your work, and thanks for the valuable time you gave us today.
Thank you so much, Steve. I always appreciate when you have me on.
John Sauber, Center Daily Times, always doing great work, and we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
All right, here we go. Stretch run. Finally get to games. Good one tonight. I think Minnesota, North Carolina, and Fox is a really good game to watch. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm anxious to watch that game this evening. Now I'll see the second half because I've got the talk show with James and the pregame show to tape with James, and then I've got a Spikes game, which I'll probably get to in the third inning. But I'll be done by 9:30, I think. And I want to watch that game in the second half tonight. Just to, you know, kind of... It's one thing about... They do a great job, they really do, on the Labor Day weekend, of turning it into a five-day college football festival. Yeah, we can debate Temple and Oklahoma tomorrow night. Okay, but I'll still watch some of it. And Saturday's got great games. Not just Penn State, West Virginia. You got Clemson, Georgia on the same time as the Penn State, West Virginia game. The night game is Texas A&M, Notre Dame. I find that incredibly intriguing. Down in College Station. Sunday night's that LSU game with USC in Las Vegas. Sunday night. And guess who's off Sunday? That's right. Feet up. Then I got a baseball game Monday at 1. That's fine. I'll be back by 5. And the game that night is Florida State hosting Boston College, Bill O'Brien's debut. So.
As a night owl, I'm excited there's a 10 o'clock game tonight.
What is that game tonight?
It's on True TV. I think it's San Jose State and Sacramento State.
Okay.
I'm a junkie. I'll watch.
And Colorado's game is on ESPN tonight. They've got North Dakota State, right?
Yeah. I saw that their North Dakota State's offensive lineman is rated higher for the NFL draft than anybody on Colorado's defense.
That is, well, except for Travis Hunter.
Well, yeah, except for Travis Hunter. That's actually right. What it said.
Yeah. I was going to say, Hunter is a first-round pick. Are you surprised by that?
No, not in the least.
No.
Nor will I be surprised if they actually lose that game, because I think we all know that, you know, North Dakota State's usually pretty darn good, regardless of being FCS or not.
They're really good, but I'll say this. I gained a lot of respect last year watching Shedeur Sanders, because Shedeur Sanders, let's be honest, in the second half of the season, he took a beating, and he kept getting up over and over and over again, and kept coming back for more. And my respect for him grew because I just thought he played with a lot of guts.
And I think that's the big thing for them again this year is, did they get that solved? Because they didn't. They're probably in the same boat they were last year. They're able to, you know, play well for a while, but that offensive line catches up to them, and it becomes tougher and tougher.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we'll see. Deion Sanders, to me, I think it's imperative for them in year two to be at least 6-6 and get to a bowl game. Because then if they don't, this, you know, what is now perceived as exciting by some and a sideshow by others will start leaning toward the sideshow part as opposed to the intriguing part. How about that?
He's never won without Travis Hunter and his kids yet.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. You better befriend another number one recruit.
Yeah. Jack and I get going at 10:30 with Roger and everybody and Brian. Our part begins at 10:30, and you'll hear it on Eagle 107.